Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here in the studio on this Monday, July the 6th, 2026. How about that? 7-6-26, 17 coming up on 18 minutes past the hour. And you have no idea how happy I am to be back with you in the studio. The fair is great. I love the fair. We do a lot of fun things at the fair. But there's just something about, in the morning, having to rush over to the fair, get into the fair, get to your location, get all your equipment hooked up, get connected here to the studio, not be able to have the phone lines open to you. That's just a little different the week of the fair, although it's a lot of fun to be over there, and the people at the fair could not have been nicer to us, and I thank them for all that they did, and I hope you enjoyed our broadcast from the Marion County Fair last week. I think we did something like 20 hours from the fair last week. The morning show emanated every day from there. We did 3 hours on Friday morning from the fair. We did an hour every night. We did the pie auction for 2 hours on Friday afternoon. And then we did our big 4th of July special on Saturday afternoon, which was great fun, by the way. Want to thank Patience Delaney for coming to our 4th of July special and performing some great songs. Buckeye Guy was there. Matt Morgan read the Declaration of Independence. That was great. And Mary Ellen Withrow was there, and she launched 40 red, white, and blue balloons with a blown-up Ben Franklin $100 bill attached to them, with her signature and the station's phone number. So we'll see if anybody calls, if this money shows up anywhere. It looked like it was going east when it was let go. But it was still over 90 degrees when we let it go on Saturday at 2 o'clock. So it was going east. It was going kind of slow. And we had that big rainstorm on Saturday, probably within the hour of that $100 bill going up. Haven't got any phone calls yet. We hope it turns up, and we'll see what happens with that. Isn't it going to be interesting to find out where that went? Now, I guess we'll see, and I hope everybody had a great 4th of July, by the way. 250th anniversary of the country. It was kind of nice getting to see all of the 250th anniversary celebrations that were going on last week, and then the ones that happened on the 4th. You know, for the first time ever, and I'm going to say that I don't think this has ever happened, I have watched the fireworks at the fair before, but I don't think I ever watched them from inside the fair. Now, I've watched them from outside the fair. I used to live very close to the fairgrounds, so I watched them from my location. There were years where I went to the grocery store just outside of the fair. A lot of people park there and have a good time. I went to that several years and watched the fireworks. I don't know if I had ever watched them from inside the fair, but I did go back last Saturday night and watched them from inside the fair with a friend, and that was actually a lot of fun thing to do on July the 4th. Watch the fireworks from inside the fair. I thought they had a great fireworks show, and we were actually sitting with a, I'm not going to say who it was because maybe they wouldn't want me to, but I sat for probably half of the fireworks with a very, I don't know if you would expect me to sit with this person, but it's somebody you would know if I told who it was. But it was fun sitting with that person, and we had a great, great conversation. And it's a very nice person. You know, I think sometimes this person gets a little bit of a bad rap, but I think this person is very, very nice and always has been very, very nice to me. So that was fireworks night on Saturday. Well, I'll tell you one thing last week about the fair that I don't miss being back in the studio today is the heat dome. Now, have you ever heard of a heat dome in your life? I started to hear about this midweek. Now, yes, it was 90-something degrees every day we were there. And some days it was 95 plus, and it felt like 150 or whatever it was. But I don't know what a heat dome is. I know the meteorologists were explaining it, but I think they pulled that out of their rear end. You know, I think the meteorologists did not have a whole lot to talk about during the week of the 4th of July because everything kind of slows down. I don't understand heat dome. I don't know why we did not have a heat dome ever in my life. It just used to be called hot weather. Now, they said there were heat domes in the past, but apparently they were just not called heat domes. Did anybody understand the heat dome? This is the first time I've been back in the studio and can take calls on anything like this. And by the way, the phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you'd like to give us a buzz, we would love to talk to you. But did anybody understand heat dome or what all that whole thing was about last week? I did not fully get that, I will be the first to admit, but apparently it was a heat dome. D-O-M-E. Oh my goodness, that heat dome. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
I'm great. I am so happy to be sitting in a comfortable chair, and I just kind of eased in this morning.
That 80-degree studio doesn't sound too bad right now, does it?
No, 77.
Go for it.
77. Ooh. Yeah, I know. I'll have to get a coat on.
Yes, that compared to last week, that's, a 30-degree temperature change for you?
You know, I could not believe. What are the odds that every day we would have been from the fair, it would have been 90-plus, and it was brutal, brutal.
Well, I think we should all realize it's kind of like the Memorial Tournament and the fair. Either it's going to be blistering hot or it's going to rain. That's the way Mother Nature sees fit to treat us during those events.
Well, I have learned I'll take the rain because one or two days of that 90 degrees is okay, but six...
It's physically taxing on you. I mean, it doesn't matter how much water you drink. Heat sucks it out of you. We go to the NHRA races. We had that event in this time that right before the fair. And every year it's either blistering hot or it rains. And this year it was predicted to rain. And the races got moved up 6 hours. So we were thinking we're showing up at 4 p.m. and we're actually showing up at 11 a.m. Big change when you have to drive. And then it didn't rain. But anyway, if it's an outdoor event and I'm associated with it, the weather is going to be crazy. And I think, unfortunately, that's just the fair curse.
Well, and you know something?
Hot Farm Festival, I think, is the same way, isn't it? I mean, it's either...
Yeah, I mean, last year I remember the one day we do from the Bratwurst Festival. It was pretty warm. And I've covered fairs for a long time now. And to be honest with you, there have been heat jags. There's no... I think 2 or 3 years ago there was a jag.
It's worse when you're in those buildings. Metal buildings.
It does. Those heat jags were only jags, and then they would break, and you would get some rain, and then you would have a day that was maybe in the high 70s, low 80s. It just never broke at all last week, and I think that was the problem.
You were talking about the heat dome and how we've not really heard of it in the past. I just don't think we've called it a heat dome. I think we've typically called it a heat wave because we certainly had stretches of weather like this. Many times in the past, I just don't think we referred to it as a heat dome.
No, but I think
it's like polar vortex. Had you really heard of that until recently?
No, and I think that's one of those things, too, that the meteorologists just say. And I'm not saying they're purposely trying to frighten people, but when you say...
I think now they're just using more scientific terms that, you know, I mean, polar vortexes clearly existed 20 years ago. They just they called it frigid conditions.
Well, yeah, but the problem, I think, is when you say heat dome, it almost scares people from going outside of their house than if you would say a stretch of 90-degree temperatures. Stay hydrated. It's going to be 90 for a few days, which is what they used to say. But when you say...
Some people need scared into staying into their homes because I know people that overexerted themselves in the heat. And that's another thing. It's like the tornado sirens, though. We hear it so often that it's like, yeah, it's going to be hot. And then you get yourself in a situation where you're like, oh, it's too hot for me, and I'm you know, a half a mile away from my car, or I'm an hour away from home, or, you know. So, I mean, there are people, and the breathing issues were a real issue. I have very mild asthma. It's well controlled. It's mostly environmental stuff will send me into wheezing and that sort of thing. I had some issues. I joked a few times. I walked out my front door and the air punched me in the face and stole my breath. So the humidity, I mean, there are some people that really need to hear, stay inside your house. But yeah, I get that, you know, we also need to live our lives. And just because it's hot, you know, mean we should stop.
I'll tell you something interesting. I'm glad you brought it. Has nothing. It partially has to do with the heat. I don't have asthma or anything like that. But as I said, I'd never been inside the fair when the fireworks were going off, and I did that. And I did that Saturday night. And
did you have the sulfur and all the burnt fumes?
It was just. It could not have been more. That was horrible.
The air was pretty still too, so that does not help when you're igniting fireworks when the air is still. I think we noticed that. Did you watch the 4th of July, the DC, those fireworks, how it just ended up a cloud of smoke? That's what you were having.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, with that, and also there were people lighting off fireworks behind the fair. There were people across the street lighting off fireworks. There were people.
Fair Park
area
has its own party.
Yeah, so all that was going on, and then the fireworks where we were. I mean, it looked like a house fire by the time the fireworks were done. And I kept thinking, some of these people out here on oxygen. Plus, it was still about 90 degrees.
Yes, and the humidity was what was keeping everything so low. We were out in the country. We went to a family member's house that was sort of in the middle of nowhere, letting them off, and we had a bit more of a breeze, but it was still pretty still.
Just brutal.
Yes. So we delayed, like, you know, we would let, instead of letting 20 off in a row, maybe 5 or 7, and let the air clear a little. So it slowed down the show and whatever, but yeah.
And you
so
know
you
what
got
else
the full
is
on experience, because we have, I'm used to shrapnel falling on me and that sort of stuff while we're letting off fireworks. But
well, what else was strange was last night I kept hearing fireworks outside of where I live, and I thought they were actually in the neighborhood, and I went outside, and I'm not sure where they were letting them off last night. It was after 10 o'clock, but it had to be somewhere beyond Meyer, but not too far beyond, because I could see the fireworks perfectly, and they were going way up in the sky. But even last night, with the temperatures the way they were, they just left that that cloud of smoke.
Mm-hmm.
It still was the same.
Norwalk, when we go every year, and it's always the weekend before the 4th of July to the races. And on Friday night, that's what got ruined, was our fireworks this Friday night. They always have, like, $125,000 fireworks show. And last year, the air was so still that it was nothing but a cloud of dust, and you're just watching explosions behind a cloud of dust. It was sad. Like, you're like, all this money, all these beautiful fireworks, and you don't get to see any of them.
Yeah, it's very interesting. But you know what else was fascinating to me? It did not seem as if it was any the crowd was not bigger. They were not any more patriotic this year with the 250th anniversary of the country. You know, it kind of reminded me of the eclipse, that there was all this talk up to it, but when it actually happened, it really was no different than a regular 4th of July.
Well, a lot of people I know had hosted parties at their houses instead of going places, you know, like going to the fair or whatever. I know a lot of, we had friends that had parties Thursday, Friday, Saturday, because then everybody, all the grown-ups have to behave themselves on Sunday and go back to work on Monday. But yeah, people were having large gatherings at their houses, ones that I know. And you said you went with a friend to the fair. Is
I
this
did.
Something that we should know about?
Well, not really, no.
You don't call people friends.
Well,
I mean, this seems to have progressed awfully quickly.
Well, I mean, what would I call them?
I don't know. Taylor and Travis got married this weekend, and now Scott Spears has
God.
A friend.
Well, I went with an acquaintance. How about that?
Okay, that's more you.
Yeah, I went with an acquaintance.
Didn't know if we were hosting a wedding shower for you in the future.
Oh, let me tell you about that whole wedding thing, though. The Taylor
and
Travis.
You've been out of shape, isn't it, buddy?
Well, here's an interesting thing. I thought there are some observations I have about this Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce wedding. Okay, number one, for as big as they are and as big a deal as their engagement was,
it kept so quiet.
Yeah, but it was so anticlimactic. I mean, it really was. I did not see it.
They're going to release some sort of something. They've got to for the fans. I'm so surprised at how quiet they were able to keep it. Nothing leaked whatsoever.
Yeah, but they had it at Madison Square Garden, for God's sake.
1,000 people.
Right. So, I mean, it wasn't a small wedding, and they flashed just married on the outside, but it was almost as if the media did not carry it to a high extent, I think, because of everything else that was going on.
Well, yeah, exactly, and I think that's almost why they chose, because I'm thinking, why would they choose July 3rd? Because everybody's distracted with everything else.
And my parents got married on July the 3rd.
Did they?
They did, and I was always told, because my dad was in Vietnam, because the churches...
I didn't know that about your father.
Yeah, he was in Vietnam.
Well, thank you, Mr. Scott Spears' dad.
Yeah. He was very patriotic. It wasn't too far removed from Vietnam when they got married. And because of the patriotism, I guess, of the whole time, he wanted to get married on the 4th, but it was hard to get a minister or a church on the 4th, so they got married on the 3rd.
Well, that's cool.
So maybe that's the same thing with them. They didn't want to do it on the 4th to coincide with all the festivities that go on the 4th, so they did it on the 3rd.
They had all of their guests staged at one hotel. Well, I can't say one, because there was a lot of guests, but they had one hotel where a lot of their guests were staying, and they were escorting them to the wedding, and they're all coming out of the side door and being escorted to their vehicles, and they're like, asking them, are you going to the wedding? And people, they said nothing, you know, like, well, what are you most excited about today? And blah. One person said, love, and that was the only thing. I mean, people were completely silent, just being escorted to the vehicle so they could go to Travis and Taylor's wedding. I think it's nice that they were able to pull this off private, as big as it was, privately, that there were no leaked photos, that there wasn't any reporter that bombed them, that there wasn't her leaked in her dress, you know, that sort of thing. I think that's very nice.
Well, yeah, but I really, still to this moment, I don't know if the media decided we're covering 250th anniversary things, or this is just not a big deal for us, because they did get married. It did happen at Madison Square Garden. They did have celebrity guests. I mean, for God's sake, Paul McCartney performed there.
Yes.
I mean, it was a big, big wedding.
And he's not performed that song in 52 years.
That's what I heard. I Want to Hold Your Hand, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, with all that going on, that the media would be more apt to cover it, but I don't know. It really was anticlimactic. Maybe it was because the engagement was such a big deal, and her tours had been such a big deal, and she was Time Magazine Person of the Year a couple years ago.
I'm glad she got left alone, but my God, I need to see that dress.
Well, here's the thing.
I need to see the flowers, and I need to see the cake.
I hope they do well, but you know what they say, the bigger the wedding, the bigger the funeral. Just about. The bigger the divorce, that's how it goes.
I really think that 1,000 people, considering who they are, is a small wedding.
I don't know.
Jeff Bezos rented out Venice, Italy, for the love of God. All they got was Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, but who has a wedding at Madison Square Garden? My God. And who
Travis
has Paul McCartney? Right. I'm telling you, it's doomed for failure, and I'm sorry to say that. Not because of marriage.
I'm going to love on this one, Spears. I'm going to love.
No, I will. Listen, I want them to succeed. I hope it goes on forever. But these big, high-profile things like this do not work because the scrutiny is absolutely unimaginable. Because everybody knows who the both of them are. They're going to be watching everything that they do. Any little small thing in a normal marriage will be a big thing in their marriage. It's very rocky.
I wish them the best. We can be the yin to the yang on this one, but now we have jumped on the bandwagon and we're using this to our own advantage. And Peanut Butter Jelly Truck, we're having a wedding shower for Travis and Taylor.
Oh.
And since they donated $26 million to charity before they got married.
I heard about
charities.
That. Yes.
26 charities.
I think most of that came from her.
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's the co-owner of Garage Beer, he and his brother. They're a stakeholder in Garage Beer. And it went from a very small company to like a $400 million company now. So he's not doing too bad. He's not Taylor rich, but he's more than football rich now.
No, but that seemed like a very Taylor Swift thing to do. I think he's already leading. I think she's already leading him around by the nose.
Well, see, forcing him to donate money to charity—what a horrible woman!
I don't think it was much of his money. I think she mostly said, "This is what I'm going to do, and this is what we're going to release this, and this is what's going to happen."
Well, I hope she made him split 50-50. I still hope they have separate bank accounts.
Lord, I hope
so. But remember, anything you accumulate before you're married is yours, and anything you accumulate afterwards, then it's considered joint property. But back to how we're capitalizing on this and marrying.
Yes.
Peanut Butter Jelly Truck, we have decided to host a wedding shower for Travis and Taylor, and we feel like they would be okay if we kept the gifts and just gave them out to the community instead of sending them on to them. So people, if they would like to, in honor of Travis and Taylor or anybody really, peanut butter, jelly, fruit cups, applesauce, yogurts, paper bags, gas cards, money if you're interested, they can all be donated at 503 Ballantyne Avenue, and there's a lockbox if people want to donate cash or gift cards.
That's nice.
Can slip it right in the mailbox, and only the directors have access to it, so not just everyone will be getting it. So we're capitalizing on that, and we're gathering items in their honor to pass along to feed our neighbors.
So, basically, if you want to donate anything in regard to this wedding, you donate it to the Peanut Butter Jelly organization, and they will use it for people in need.
Yes.
Well, that's nice.
So we're not getting $1 million from Taylor, but maybe, we can come together as a community and help feed our neighbors.
Now,
we've got about 700 plus meals a week. That takes a lot of effort on everyone's part.
Now, will the same type of event happen for the divorce?
Well, we'll probably all be heartbroken, and then we'll just give triples so we can make ourselves feel better. It really is.
I mean, God bless them.
I'm telling you, a couple of us are waiting for the release, and we pinky promised each other to, as soon as we hear or see something legit, we might show up at each other's houses and bridesmaid dresses. We haven't decided yet.
Well, see, this is why I say it was undercovered, because I didn't see any of that. I thought it would be, people losing their minds for this wedding, and it wasn't.
Oh, we full-on would have had a mini wedding, with dresses and cupcakes and such, if there was a reason to do so, and we just might still. But, we're waiting for the photos, hopefully.
Well, I don't know. How do you think she dressed? She certainly wasn't in white. My God, she's had 75 boyfriends.
I'm pretty sure it was, I read who, Dior, I think, is who did her dress. I'm pretty sure. That's who I read. And when the jewelry was Harry Winston. Now, that was released by the Garage Beer page, which is Travis and Taylor, or Travis and his brother. Oh, my gosh, I can't think of his name. But they released that on their page. So I'm pretty sure that's true. But let's 4th of July, back to Independence Day.
I wonder if it's green. I wonder if the dress was green. She seems to wear a lot of green.
She likes green and orange for the life of the
show. Wonder what they had to pay Paul McCartney. I bet it was at least $1 million to do one song.
I bet it was zero because he and Taylor are actually friends.
Oh, I don't know. No, Paul McCartney, I bet it collected a check.
No, he and Taylor are actually friends. They are friends from back in time. He was a guest at the wedding. He wasn't a paid performer.
Well, I bet he got some pay.
He's friends with quite a few of those Europeans. Very good, close friends.
By the way, from Matt, who's out there listening this morning, his brother's name is Jason.
Yes, I knew that. He played for the Eagles. I just couldn't think of it. I can see him clear as day in my face, or in my head, but I couldn't think of his name. Because they played each other in Super Bowl, Jason and Travis.
I think it'll come out, though, that Paul McCartney got $1 million, at least.
Oh, gosh. I don't think Paul McCartney would admit that if he did get paid to go to play at Taylor Swift's wedding. We couldn't even get a picture. We couldn't even get a leaked picture. Paul McCartney isn't going to say he got $1 million. City Council this year is 4th of July. Everybody, America 250 and celebrating and fireworks. They're talking tonight again about restricting our speech. How do you think that's going to go?
Yeah, the decorum thing continues tonight. But honestly, as I've said the last few times, it seems like there's a lot of confusion there in that particular that little group what committee? I've almost forgotten the name. Committee. In that little committee going on there, and last time they couldn't even get a vote to get it out of committee with Kreider and Smith. So I don't know. The only way that thing comes out of committee is if it's so watered down to the point to where it's
there's
what
no
it is.
Point in having it anyway.
Well, it's basically what it's always been.
Yes.
And it's on the president to enforce it, and I think that's the only way it will get out of committee. And if it does in that form, what's the difference?
I guess they can save face anyway. I hope that I will be there this evening because I want to see what their input is on that.
I just want to see one restriction that is different. I want to see something that is different than what they've got now.
I do too.
And I don't see that yet.
I don't either. Did you hear about the train derailment in Bucyrus?
No, I don't think I heard about that.
Yeah, there was a train derailment in Bucyrus that happened yesterday. It happened at one of the intersections, and it's a pretty prominent intersection. I can't think of which one. Somebody would need to look it up. They had evacuated, or told everyone to evacuate for a mile because there was a potential of a hydrochloric acid leak. Now, somebody said this morning that potential, I believe, is gone. But everyone within a mile of that particular spot was asked to evacuate. And I was thinking, man, we're all going on about tornado sirens. How much of Marion was within 1 mile of the railroad track?
Well, that's the thing, though. I think that accidents and things like that happen. And
do we have any kind of plan, though, I guess, was my thought. Not like, because I'm right down the street. I can walk out my front door and see railroad tracks. It's been that way most of my life. I think a lot of Marion could say that as well. But do we have some kind of plan, you know?
Oh, probably probably about as much of a plan as Bucyrus had.
Well, so should we get a little more proactive about that? And maybe, you know, yeah, the tornado sirens are important. But because really, how much of Marion does live within a mile of a railroad track? And it's not just the city. I mean, they run all through the county, too.
Well, a lot. But, you know, it's one of those things. I'm not saying that they shouldn't have some kind of plan.
They opened up the high school in Bucyrus. Where would you put everybody in Marion that lives within a mile of the railroad track? And I'm not trying to scare people. I mean, we want to be prepared. We're talking about tornadoes, and people are freaking out about that. What would we do if this happened?
Well, I find that in those situations that are unexpected, which nobody can prepare for, that people really do pitch in. If something like that would happen, and we're talking a 1 mile radius of wherever it would happen, I'm sure that most people have cars to begin with, and if you didn't have a car, I'm sure that a police officer would be happy to take you, or your neighbor would be happy to take you if they noticed that you were
stopping. Oh, I'm sure we would all, you know, figure something out, but has anyone in power figured out this? Well, I've never thought about this until now, and like I said, I can just walk up this, even with the East Palestine thing, I'm like, oh, that's just so freak that that's very unlikely to happen here. But this was just a train derailment. We don't know if the tracks were bad or, you know, who knows? They don't know yet, but it's, now we've had two of them that we know of, and they're getting closer and closer. So, yeah, I just wanted to get that in. I was thinking we're all worried about priorities, about tornadoes and such, and we had an actual train derailment right up the road, so maybe we need to...
I'll tell you the thing that was horrible, and not that that wasn't, but, you know, being at the fair on Saturday night and leaving with
that
the fireworks,
car accident.
Oh, the car accident was just horrible.
Okay, and this is another thing that was terrifying. I mean, that's just, I'm pretty with the mother, so, I mean, that's just...
Well, number one, for people who didn't listen to the news, essentially what happened here is you had a car that was stopped on Lycans Chapel Road after the fair, and this is when people are leaving, going home from the fireworks. I think it was between 10 and 11 o'clock.
It was at 10:42 p.m.
So it was maybe 15 minutes after the fireworks had stopped. I was probably leaving the fair at that time. And in any event, the car is stopped, apparently, on Lycans Chapel Road with the mother, who's also got two 14-year-olds in the car. And the child is standing behind the car. 18 years old, I think? 16 years old.
16-year-old boy.
Yeah, 16, standing behind the car. and a man did not stop. And I don't know the...
He rear-ended,
but I don't know if it's because she wasn't moving or parked in the road.
We don't know. They haven't said.
Right. I don't know. It's weird that somebody would be stopped on Lykins Chapel Road. I don't know if they were stopped watching the fireworks. I don't know. But, and basically the kid got in between the cars and obviously did not survive. And and hit him so hard that the mother and the two 14-year-olds in the car had to go get some medical attention, as well as the guy.
Everyone.
Went to medical attention. But here's the thing.
So that tied up. The fire department put out a message after that, while that was going on, like, I don't want to say cleaned up. While it was finishing up that scene, they put out a statement saying that there's only two apparatuses to cover all of Marion right now. And basically they were so overworked, they're calling people in, calling other agencies in to help them, you know, like the township fire departments and stuff, to help them. And at one point in time on the 4th of July, we had two emergency vehicles, fire department related emergency vehicles, to cover the entire city of Marion because they were stretched so thin.
Well, I think what happened this particular year...
That's scary, Scott.
Well, yeah, but I think there were a lot of calls going on in general because that was the prime time for fireworks, and a lot of people in the neighborhoods call, and a lot of people, you know, get minor injuries that we never hear about. And then I think you have this major thing that nobody expects to happen.
And they needed four ambulances for it because there were four people involved in it.
Right. And it,
that
you know,
transported.
You know, and it was weird because obviously I did not know at the time, but as we were driving away from the fair, I was coming, where did I see that ambulance? I think that ambulance was on, where was it? It might have been...
It was
95.
We're a disaster away from not having... My nephew told me about that one. He was coming home. We were all at the same 4th of July party, and we left before he did, and he messaged me about the one you're talking about. And I told him, tell me when you get home, because people are dying right and left tonight. We are one big emergency away from not having...
There people dying right...
I shouldn't say right and left. I do believe someone else was killed in another accident, and when you're waiting for a loved one to get home, that certainly feels like
right
and left.
But I
believe there was one on Estyville Road where someone else was killed.
Right, but I do know that from the time it took to get to the car and get out of the fair, which honestly was not a big wait, we were coming down Williamsport and there was an ambulance, so now I would have to suspect that was probably where it was going, because Lykins Chapel's not far from there.
When you think about all the people that have been killed in motorcycle accidents lately, too, it does seem like people are getting killed right and left.
Well, motorcycle accidents, and that poor girl back in May, who was 19-year-old girl,
yes.
It was middle of the day.
Home for college for 2 days or something like that?
And also hit a parked car. I mean, our car stopped in the middle of the road. People have got to stop stopping in the middle of the road.
Because how are you supposed to make a left turn? How about we all just need to be a little more cautious while we're driving?
Well, I don't know. If we know what's... I don't know. I don't know what's going on that people are not paying attention. Now, I guess we can say
cell phones.
I don't know.
I think cell phones have a big role in these things. I can't say in all of them because I don't know, but just seeing the distracted driving that I see, it's typically because someone has a phone in their hand.
Well, I don't know. See, with this one, though, I don't understand because the kid was outside the car, the 16-year-old kid.
When I heard what time it was and you said the fireworks were already over, my only assumption is the kid was out peeing. That's the only thing I can think. Because unless something else strange, but, I mean, that would be, like, as strange as it sounds, that would be the most logical explanation to me. Like, Mom, I've got to pee. I can't make it till we get home. Mom, I gotta pee. All right. Get out. Pee real quick.
I don't know.
That's just my thought.
Unless they were pulled over watching the fireworks.
But then you said they were already over.
Yeah, but...
Because it said 10:42. That's what the police, the highway patrol
Yeah,
police
but when,
said.
When people pull over to watch these fireworks, it takes them a minute to pack up. Because they usually bring lawn chairs and things like that. So they ended probably about 10:35.
I thought that, too, that they probably were over there watching the fireworks. But then everyone else being in the car and not him. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of speculation that can go on. But I mean, my family's done it before. I can't make it home. Okay, you know, get out. There's no one here. Go to the bathroom sort of thing.
But you know what's strange? And I, like I said, I don't know what happened with this whole thing. But as I was leaving the fair, what is so odd is there will be kids, and I even remarked on this, because there are a lot of people leaving the fair when the fireworks are over. It's the last night. A lot of people are getting out of there very fast. Even as we were pulling out, going toward the gate, which, you know, it's just a road to the gate, there were kids who would walk in front of the car because they've got their earbuds in, and they're not listening. They're not even looking in your direction. And I, you know, you're not supposed to hit a pedestrian. You're supposed to give the pedestrian the right of way. But I've never noticed a whole lot of that prior to the last 5 years, where people don't even look at you. Don't even turn their back.
When I use earbuds, I only wear one ear. When I'm not in that, well, even when I'm in the house, I only wear one earbud, so I can always hear what's going on around me also.
I'm
an old person, you know, that probably hypervigilant and all that other stuff, but I think earbuds are dangerous.
It was sad, and obviously all
it's
these
very stuff. Sad. I mean, a 16-year-old boy, again, nearly the same age as my son. He turns 17 on Friday. But just, you know, I'm sure it was just a family out enjoying Independence Day, and it ended so sadly.
You know, and I had just talked to a person in law enforcement at the fair that night, because I was set up pretty close to the sheriff's station, and I had just said, how has it been this week at the fair during the fireworks? And they said, you know, we've had a few people faint because of the heat, but other than that, it's been a pretty mild week. And then within an hour, that happens.
Oh gosh, that's awful. There was a child injured over there or something. I saw that the fair had put out, and the sheriff, no more children under the age of 15 alone at the fair.
I think that, what did that have to do with?
I think someone said a child fell, like a 9-year-old child fell on the big slide thing as they were going up the steps, got injured, and there was no adult to handle. Like, they were there with an older sibling or something.
I know there was a medical... I thought it had to do with heat. Now, I could have been wrong. But I don't know. There was something. And
I know they put out a notice that if you're under 15, you're not allowed there without an adult anymore. I don't think that's a bad idea, though. I remember being 12 and 13 and 14 over there without an adult, but I was too afraid of my parents when I got home.
But I'll tell you, a feel-good story was, in the midst of all this heat, there were more pies entered in the pie auction.
And how did that go, Spears? Did you get the good table?
Oh, absolutely. Number one table, 3 years.
You're royalty now.
And I love that they put the signs out there that says, Scott Spears, WGH Talk. And then Ben Higgins comes over, and he always says hello. And then he announces it before the pie auction starts.
Is that Ben Jr. or Ben Sr.?
Ben Jr., yeah.
I didn't know Ben Sr. might still step up for that one.
No. Still, it's Ben Jr. And he's so nice about it, and he always announces us being there, and that's always very nice. Just a great... Oh, and let me tell you how friendly people are. We forgot our mic stand back at the studio for the pie auction. And so we had it propped up against something. It might have been a cup or something. I don't remember. It looked terrible.
Improvised.
And one of the people with Ben Higgins' group saw that. And he said, do you want a mic stand for that? And I said, do you have one? And he went over and got a mic stand, clamped it to the table. And
how nice is that?
But the feel-good story is, the pie auction, 66 pies, raised over $15,000.
Wow.
Which I think makes, I think it was well over $3,800 for the fair. But there were three students from Ridgedale, three boys. Three boys. They are on the football team. And the football team needs new jerseys. So each of them baked a pie for the first time. Now, they did not place or anything like that, and that was no surprise. But between the three, one of the boys' pies was the highest raised pie, money-wise, $625. And
that's awesome.
That was by Cogburn Electric. And between the three, they raised over $1,700.
So I'm assuming they're getting their jerseys.
I think they will get their jerseys just off the pie auction.
What a great story. Now, how upset were the little old ladies that didn't get first place? money pie, though.
Well, I'll tell you, here's a weird thing of covering this pie auction for a few years now. The pie that wins, we have two pies that essentially win. Prettiest pie and grand champion pie. Those pies always go for low money. They don't even usually hit the average pie cost.
Really?
It's a very weird thing. Like, the average pie cost of the 66 ended up being $230-something dollars. Both of those pies, the grand champion pie and the prettiest pie, I think both went for $150.
I guess it's all about the ribbon then, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that's what that is all about. I think that's all about the ribbon, and the financial part of it is basically who do you know, so on and so forth. Like, Joanne Kasotis bought several pies. Kevin Davidson, county commissioner, bought several pies. I think Judge Burggraf bought several pies. So there was that sort of
thing. All those people can afford to buy several pies. Good.
Well, not when the pies are $250, $300.
Yes. Well, Kevin, well, I got to figure Kevin Davidson's double dipping. A judge makes like $175,000 a year. That's public knowledge. Maybe it's $160,000. And I don't think Mrs. Kasotis has done too bad.
No, but I'm just saying they're not running for office currently.
No.
Usually that happens in an election year.
Yeah, it is. You're right. It is nice to see the politicians engaged in a non-election year. Thank you for pointing that out.
Yep. And I got to interview Mr. McCauley, who was there at the fair, as well as Bill Reinecke. So it was a productive week.
And you probably lost about 6 pounds, if I had to guess. Have you?
Oh, I'm sure that I lost weight there. I mean, it was brutal.
I noticed in one of your pictures, there you are looking all respectable in a collared shirt and one of your sweater-type sweatshirt things, and it's 100-and-few degrees outside.
Really? Did I have a sweatshirt on one day last week? I don't.
You had on a long sleeve shirt when you were talking to Reinecke or.
Yes. Well, you know, I try to look presentable out in the public.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, he will do anything just to look respectable. I'd have had on my tank top, been like, yo, guys, what's up? Here's a nice water. Let's talk.
I'll tell you, here's a funny story before this hour is up. So, we're going to set, McCauley's people, very nice people, which are the Vivek people, wanted to set up the interview because there was no other media there. And kind of like the Harding dinner, they wanted an interview. I said, well, sounds great. We'll be over at the picnic pavilion when you get a chance because they wanted to tour the fair first. So, it was one of those days, afternoons, where it was 94 degrees. And McCauley and his press person and his security person are with, I forget who was giving them the tour. It might have been Ken Stuyvesant. So they're giving them the tour of the fair. And by the time they get back from the tour, I mean, they have been walking in hot, hot, hot weather. And all those guys have pants and polo shirts on and things of that nature. Now, McCauley was smart. He had a black polo shirt on. But this,
so you couldn't see his pit sweat?
Oh, but this poor McCauley's press guy had a light purple polo shirt on.
And you saw all the places
he
was sweating.
He looked like he had just been through it. And I can't blame him. I mean, it was going in those dairy barns and going in those sheep barns.
Soup cans. I call them soup cans.
Oh, it was just terrible. But they did the interview. They were very polite, and I didn't hear any backlash, so that's all. And Reinecke did a nice interview, I thought.
Yeah, he had on a short-sleeve shirt, I noticed.
He did. Well, he stayed outside. I don't think he was taking tours
of the
fair. I don't
think there's anything wrong with that. I just thought, there's Spears is in a long-sleeve shirt looking all respectable, and it's 173,000 degrees outside.
Well, you got to do what you got to do. Show is everything.
That's why you got first table at the pie auction.
That's it. That's how you get to the front of the room.
Exactly.
The way you dress. Hey, thanks for calling.
Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
We'll be back right after this short but important break.
Would be better.
I guess.
But there is something fascinated about tacky people.